I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures Podcast. Today we're at the lounge at the end of the universe, and we have Dan and Tiffany, who are the producers of the Idaho Pun Slam.
Woo-hoo!
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're excited.
So tell us first, real quick, how you started the Pun Slam.
Yeah. Do you want me to run with it?
Yeah, you start.
Okay. So... when we were first getting together, we were living in Seattle, and there was a Pun Slam in Seattle, and the first time we went, it was a blast. I participated. Second time we went, it was a blast. A little bit more packed in the bar. I won that Pun Slam.
Nice. She murdered a man on stage, actually. Completely murdered him.
The third month in a row that they had the Pun Slam, it was a packed house.
Standing room only. It was basically this little bar sort of like on the edge of West Seattle that had a small stage for maybe a couple musicians, but wasn't built for like a comedy event show.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't necessarily like the big thing, but then it grew into the big thing.
In three months it grew.
Then they just kind of stopped doing
it.
And then we moved away. We moved away to have our family here, because you have family here.
Yeah.
And we missed the Pun Slam so much because it was just a fun thing to do. Yeah. And then years later, once we finally sort of established a rapport and a working relationship with Jen, we went, we have all the tools we need. Let's do it now and here.
Cause super cool.
We can. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Nice. I think Seattle is so awesome.
It's the best. It's where I'm from. I grew up there.
Nice. I'm from Juneau, Alaska. So
really?
Yeah, Alaskans spend a lot of time in Seattle.
Sure do. Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm actually Canadian. That's how close I am.
Where are you from?
I'm from Boise, Idaho.
Oh, nice.
Boise, yeah, this is home.
The minority in the group.
Wait, where are you from, Chris?
I'm from California.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so Bay Area in California.
Yes.
Yeah, you're from Juneau, so... Yeah.
Oh, sweet. So we've got almost all corners of the West here.
It's kind of funny that the minority here is the one that's from
exactly.
From
well,
it is weird.
Let's skim past that fact.
Awesome. So you started this from a Pun Slam that was in Seattle, and then you brought it here. How many years ago did you start the Pun Slam?
We started it in 2019, right?
Yeah,
it was
here at 2019. Mm-hmm. And I think, so the one that we like came from, I believe that one was inspired by a big competition in Austin, Texas.
Called the O. Henry Pun Off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's, so I think that's where that person started that idea from. And then when we brought it to Jen was like, oh, is it like the O. Henry? I've always wanted to do that for my own.
Yeah.
In fact, when Matthew Broussard was here, who I believe was a guest on your podcast too, he
mentioned
it, and he said, oh, so it's like the O. Henry. Okay, got it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's
and then
that's
he participated in it when he was here. So that was really fun. Mm-hmm. He actually won too.
I know. I actually listened to your podcast there
because
I
didn't actually see it when it was happening. We were so busy that we did
nine
interviews.
I remember seeing you spitting them out.
Yeah,
the live stream was nonstop.
Yeah. And so he was on, and he was one of those comedians that in person was kind of flat. But
I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
I mean, it was still a good interview, but like listening to him during the Pun Slam, I mean, he can write some puns really fast in a lot of them. So, I mean, I guess it just shows he's a great writer.
Yeah.
And I actually asked him in that interview, I mean, do you run into people that are not funny in person, but are great writers? And he said he was one of them.
We agreed.
Yeah.
I think Matthew Broussard has, to date, for our money, the most puns per minute in any given set.
Yeah.
They fly out of his tongue.
What I really love. Like, a good round of a Pun Slam is like when somebody can string together their jokes so that it's not just punning off of the topic that they got, but it's like kind of a story, or you can like weave in a few puns into one sentence, because you're, even if it's just that sentence, that's still a story that you get to tell rather than those one-liners, like, which are still great.
So how long do they have with the topic?
Tell us the structure of how this works.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, so the show starts at 7:30, and our rule is you can get here up to an hour before the show to draw your topic.
Some people at 7.
Oh, goodness gracious, I'm so sorry. So an hour before showtime is when we encourage you to pick up. You can use your phones to research. Okay. And some people don't grab theirs until 10 minutes before the show or something, because they're just, they showed up late. They're like, oh yeah, I want to play here. There's a few extra slots.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can use your phones. I tell everyone, make them laugh, make them groan. It's all the same.
Okay.
Because we don't care
that's
if it's...
That's what I wondered.
Really?
Yeah, last night we were watching Pun Slams and I was like, oh my God.
I was like, yes, if you like facepalm, it's
and
doing
its
job.
And I was like, people are laughing. Exactly. Why are they laughing? Yeah. And he's like, this is the same. Okay.
Yeah. So, and we say we have up to 2 minutes, so you don't have to fill that 2 minutes. You just have a Mac. I'll cut you off at two minutes, effectively. Mm-hmm. And the real magic comes down to the audience, because we just hand out a handful of whiteboards right before we start and to five audience members, and we say, here you go, you're going to score everyone 1 to 5.
Okay.
Be nice.
Yeah.
You know, listen to your heart, what have you. And so we get some pretty close matchups throughout the evening, because everyone's, you know, either laughing or groaning generally. Contestants either come up with a series of one-liners, they tell a story, and that's really the magic of it, is seeing what comes out of it. Yeah. There was one person, I think it was at the Comedy Fest, that just started doing like impressions of like a joke based on the pun, and it was very abstract.
He got the topic rocks, and he he was like making puns on the word rock rather than the topic. I've never seen anybody interpret it that way, but I'm like, it kind of worked.
Yeah. It kind of did. There's not really a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's the first round, and then for the second round, they get their topic at the beginning of intermission. So then they have 10 minutes to write 2 minutes worth of content. Mm. And then the third round, two people go head-to-head in a final pun slam, and they have 30 seconds their topic, and they share the same topic and just have to like
we give them a couple chances to like pick between these two, agree upon it.
Like a battle.
Yeah.
Pun battle. Nice.
We should throw down the beat next time.
Yes.
I used to call it a pun off, but Danny's like, that's why it's called the slam. It's the pun slam.
Nice. Okay, so your judges are just picked at random then from audience members. Okay, that was my next question. Now who decides
like
the topics?
Randomly, this guy would love
this
to
bag
be a judge.
Right here.
If you ever randomly want to judge,
totally randomly would love to judge.
Are you guys gonna be able to see it tonight?
Are we coming to the show?
I think
we're going. Yeah, we were kind of talking about it, and so
I'm never a judge.
She's not like the spotlight.
No, not at all. Randomly.
See, I wouldn't worry about you guys being the judges. It's the people that are like, oh, I'm their mom and I came with them. That like, okay, you can't be a judge.
Right. And I'm here. Yeah. No. So I don't have a car.
So.
Awesome. So who decides on the topics? Is it the two of you together?
We got this bag right here. Okay. Yeah, can you hear it?
I can hear it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we sort of collected favorite categories from the past. And, you know, really the categories are as basic as like, what do we got? Pasta. I got movies and theater. That's infinite. Like shit. Alcoholic beverages. Like I think we have like gardening in there. Just if you can think of a thing that you can do.
And then there's more niche ones too, like SpongeBob or Pokemon or Marvel. So if somebody happens to draw it and they're like, oh yeah, I know everything about this. We let them mulligan.
Oh nice.
Yeah,
because we also don't want to like force someone to produce content that they're not comfortable doing. Yeah. So like that's I think one of the lessons that we took away from the Seattle Pun Slam that we did was give them 10 minutes for round two to write for a second. Because when we did in Seattle, round two was you go up on the spot, you have to come up with 2 minutes.
30 seconds.
Here, give people a mulligan. Just the more generous you can be, the better content they're going to come up with. Because I know I keep saying this, the real magic is their confidence in how stupid or how witty their puns are. And if they're not going to come up with the confidence of like, I know what I'm talking about and I've got a couple good zingers.
You want the show to be awesome.
Totally.
Like,
So yeah. We
rather have it be entertaining than challenging, because yeah. It's
yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
it's not about the challenge. It's yeah. Still challenging of to course. Like go up for 2 minutes after it. 10 minutes yeah. Of writing, like
yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. So. Yeah, to write that much in 10 minutes, 2 minutes of material.
Yeah,
so the ones that can do it are. I mean, hats off to them. Yeah.
And I think that's what Matthew Broussard did. He like told a story as he came yep. In, kind of. Yeah. Yeah,
he had some really good puns, mm-hmm. And some that were just, you know, there was like one sentence he said, and there was like four or five puns in that one sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a squirrel outside. It's so sweet.
Since we're distracted by a squirrel, I'm going to adjust this. Oh, okay. Oh, was that off the
whole time? Yeah, I hit it. No, it just got moved a little bit.
It wavered a smidgen,
gotcha.
But
okay.
That is neither here nor there. Actually, it is right there, but otherwise.
Okay, so where does this bag sit in your home?
Ooh.
In a basket. We have a pun slam basket that just houses all of the things we need. So we have like the judges,
whiteboards, and
notepads and pens and
sheets of score templates for you and like your bulletin board for announcements,
recording and release forms.
Yeah,
just like all of our
everything we need to cover
and
our
everything.
Butts.
So
yeah,
it's the name of the game.
We probably need recording.
That's what I just
go get you my template.
Episode 94.
That's a good idea.
We're totally going to sue you after this.
Yeah. Defamation of character.
So, did you do anything during COVID, or was that completely
no,
backyard?
Not for the pun slam. Okay. We thought about it, and the idea of being able to like stream a pun slam with some folk mm-hmm. here when the lounge was doing their COVID streaming yeah. experiment sounded yeah. really cool. We honestly, it was a combination of we don't have it in us, like the magic is live. We're not in a rush to try and replicate that.
Yeah.
And we kept ourselves busy with a couple other projects during COVID. But Pun Slam was I feel like we were saving that for like, this is going to be to celebrate when we can be together again in a group inside. Like, we got to save that.
Well, and sure enough, when we brought it back, not for the Comedy Fest, because I think that was still like early in the reopening stages, but like the first Pun Slam we had back in the building, we had as many people as we did back in September 2019 when we opened the first time. So
yeah,
I think we played it right, and I think people are really excited about it. And you're right, like when you hear puns, if there's nobody laughing at them, they kind of just fall flat. Like the whole fun is to all experience it together and to groan together or laugh.
Totally,
so.
Yeah. And to our delight, the first one back was the first full one back, which was June, right? Yeah, June. Half the audience were first timers who had never been to one before. Nice. And that just, like, I almost cried on the spot. That was so cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Awesome. So what, in your opinions, makes a really good pun?
Oh, man.
It's almost got to be, like, played two ways. I really, like, so I don't know. I've never had to
okay,
think about
I
that.
Think for me, it's the delivery. Like, if you can say your pun and deliver it well, that's a good pun to me. Because the thing is, if you have a great joke but you don't deliver the word emphasis so that you catch the pun, it just, you know, it goes over everybody's head or it just doesn't land.
Okay,
so like you have to learn how to emphasize and like wait for the laugh. And so this is, you know, the rules are different when it's like a meme written down on the internet, because you know, it's a different pun at that point. I tried to write one today. Somebody on our Instagram named Anvil Fencing Company or Anvil Fence. I was like, oh, are you going to come to the Pun Slam? And they're like, well, I'm on the fence about it.
Yeah.
And I said, you can anvil. But that doesn't write. You have to deliver it verbally for it to land. And so it's like, there's a different criteria for written Pun Slam, or not Pun Slams, but written puns and verbal puns. But when I see somebody on stage that can deliver and wait for the laugh, like that to me is a... That's a good pun. Yeah.
It's the other secret, I think, is keeping it within the frame of context. Mm-hmm. So, like, our subject is so important, or it's super important that everyone hears what the subject is before a contestant delivers their set, because if you don't know they're joking about gardening, half of the things are going to go over your head. Adding context to something later can then make it retroactively funny. When we were recording a trailer for the Pun Slammer term, we did sort of a little mock Pun Slam, and I kept saying the category is blah blah blah, category blah blah, and one of them was category cats, and then it didn't hit me until afterward. Oh, cat-a-gory. Like, that's it. I now have a newer context for it, and it's funny now.
Right. Nice. Awesome. And Wendy, what do you think makes a good pun?
Puns for me go back to my Grandma Osborne, who was only talked in puns. So that's why I'm like, when he was sharing the Pun Slam with me last night, I was like groaning. And so I was like, that's going to be okay, perfect. Because that's what we did to my grandma, who every sentence was like, something punny. Yeah. Oh, grandma.
Oh, yes.
Again. You know what I mean?
I have that relative as well.
Yeah, it's like
my family. Were you able to throw him back?
No, I was young. I was just doing this. Like, oh, I get it, but oh, grandma.
So
Tiff and my roommate Brad at the time had their brains were both punified. The way that, like, if you do a puzzle, a certain type of puzzle for forever, then you only see in that puzzle.
Yeah.
That's what had happened to both of them, my lover and my roommate. And I was short on all the change. And so I was actually angry at some point. Very angry about putting up with everything that I couldn't keep up with, and it just made my eyes roll. And then I don't know what, I guess I was immersing in it long enough that one day it clicked for me. And by then they were a little worn out, so then I had my revenge all to myself, and they were the ones rolling their eyes.
And now we're married, and one of us will like just drop a pun, and the other will just stop and stare with loathing in their eyes. Like, and it's equal. It's me and him.
It's a great
and we go,
pun.
Get out.
Go Western standoff.
You are not welcome here.
I love you and.
I'm leaving this bed. You can sleep alone tonight. Yeah. I will too.
So you really have to like gauge when you land your puns around your home.
And we have a 5-year-old, and she's getting good at puns.
She's
getting really good at puns. So she's been on the stage a couple of times and has delivered her jokes. And, like, with parents that are performers, she's on her way.
Oh, that's awesome.
She sees how we hold our own, and she can do it herself. It's great.
Oh, yes. Do we
want to
have a little pun off?
With us?
Ooh.
With them.
Oh, with them.
Like, or
I'm down.
Or this way.
Yeah, I'm not in.
Girls versus guys.
I don't know. I'm not a good punster. But, I mean, they just have to come naturally.
But Monica was like, what if they did a mini pun off?
We could totally do
it. We could do a group. I'll just pull a category.
And whoever comes up with
whatever
it.
Comes to mind. Tiff and I will get started. It's open season.
Can't
whatever comes.
Open season.
We have editing if this sucks.
We'll just, let's go make it easy. Movies and theater stuff.
Okay. Let's see.
That's so broad.
Movies. Let's see.
Better not be on Broadway then.
Nice.
Yeah, there it is. There's the hate.
Yeah.
hate.
See, I'm blanking. I'm not in the zone yet.
They're just popping out of my brain. They're not yet. This is the real life.
Can we pick a new one? Oh, yeah, the real life.
Yes. Oh,
2-star review. Pick a new one.
Pick it.
Okay.
You pick it then.
Okay, let's try that again.
Don't punish me for the cinemas of my past.
Oh, jeez.
Pirates.
Oh, all right. Okay.
All right. I got one from my daughter's joke book.
Oh, okay.
What's a sea monster's favorite meal?
What?
Fish and ships.
God, I can't think of anything. Pirates.
That's pretty broad. The other secret to punning is knowing how tangential you can get. So because you're in Pirates, you're in safe harbors to be able to talk about boats for an extent, or marine life, maybe, you know, you can, that's the kind of the secret sauce.
Got to make him say Jack Sparrow. Oh!
Okay.
So we're not very good at this. Is why we host and not participate
well,
anymore.
Way better than us.
Well, I'm a podcast host and not a contestant on the Pun Slam. Do both of you have a favorite pun?
I have a go-to example when someone wants to play and they're like, what's a pun again? I just need to make sure I remember what a pun is. My go-to is, what did the tree say to the mushroom? Gee, you're a fun guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I think my science teacher told a version of that back in the day,
Freshman biology teacher taught me that one.
Yeah. Nice. One of my favorite puns that I did the night I won in Seattle, my topic was in the hospital, and the joke was, did you hear that the queen recently knighted Jerry Seinfeld? Now we have to call him Surgery.
Oh, nice. Oh, that one. I forgot about that one.
So proud.
Where was this in Seattle? What?
The Meadowlark.
No, it's called the Skylark.
Lark?
Skylark.
Lark. That was
bar
close.
In West Seattle.
Huh. We're going to go there.
Del Ridge.
Yeah, we are. We do have a trip to Seattle.
I love Seattle.
Oh, right on. What part of Seattle do you know where you're going to?
Or
are you still figuring that out?
No, we got an Airbnb.
Yeah, somewhere. Where is it close to?
The Space Needle.
Cool.
So is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. So you probably got like the
Queen Anne
yes. sort of Magnolia area. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then we plan on just taking the train down to Pike Place and stuff.
Yeah, the light rail. I used to take that. It's cool. So love I used to live right next to the airport when I was finishing up college in Capitol Hill at Seattle U. And so I'd take the light rail from the airport straight up the hill and then bus it up the hill. And it was great. Yeah. And now it goes into Bellevue, I believe, which makes so much sense. Because Bellevue is like just the big sister city to Seattle, a big old, even bigger like business hub to Seattle.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we're from I'm from the West Seattle area as of late, and I grew up further south of Seattle. So if you have some time to go to Alki,
you're from here.
My
what
family.
Brought you here?
Family. We were. Yeah.
Nice.
We got pregnant.
We had
no family in Seattle.
Was this on a vacation to Seattle?
No. So we
met at a pun slam.
We met in college in Washington State at Washington State University, and then when I graduated, he had already gone and like went to a different university and didn't graduate with me. But he was living in Seattle. I wanted to move out of Boise. I had friends there. So I was like, I'm going to go move to Seattle. And so we started hanging out again. And it was
inevitable.
Like, inevitable. Yeah. So, we got together and then like got pregnant. But my family's here and his family was in Tennessee. And I was like, I'm not moving to Tennessee.
That's kind of
I'm too attached to the region too to make a jump that big. So Boise's been nothing but great to us since 2015.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So you're originally from Tennessee, or that's where you're?
Oh, not even close. No, I grew up Air Force. So I was lucky enough to basically only live in Seattle my whole youth. But because I grew up Air Force, my folks actually grew up Air Force, each of them. So they're all scattered everywhere across the country. So I got relatives all over the East. And I'm basically, me and my brother are the last ones here in Boise because we're just so attached to the Northwest.
Yeah,
like that's our youth. It's what we know. Yeah. So
it's really different than other places.
I miss seeing ferns everywhere.
Oh, they're in our grass. You should come over. We
live in the bring the shovel. I will take them.
You can like transplant ferns.
Oh man.
We water our weeds. So we
keep them very green.
We've reached that point in our relationship too.
Yep.
I considered getting that lawn paint.
Oh, really?
I just want to replace it all with moss.
I was thinking concrete. Just like water the concrete. tree. I don't know.
See, moss doesn't grow past a certain.
Oh, yeah, that's actually awesome.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You just get a little
so,
green.
Yeah, and it stays green mostly, and it's just mow. Like, yeah.
I say we just lean into the goat heads, and then no one will ever step on it or ruin it.
Yeah. We're trying no, to be one step in it. Above of our neighbors.
Really, yeah. Oh, our neighbor absolutely hates us because of our yard. Oh, really? She's out there all day, every day, like 24/7, 365. She's 87 years old, and
that's,
she will, like...
That's what she's got.
Like, yeah. She's got time.
She's got time. That's her exercise, too.
Yeah. Picking out the dandelion.
But you know what, her
green,
yard...
All right. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Ours isn't even green at this point.
Not. Are you both, you know, you live in Boise?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Boise proper. Are you in? Proper.
We're over on the bench, on like the
west
bench. West
bench. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then which is actually my neighborhood that I grew up in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
We live in a house that's two streets away from my childhood home.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that feel like?
It was weird at first because I had to kind of get over feeling like I was in my mom's neighborhood, yeah. Like on yeah. My parents'
like
turf.
All those memories.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool because my mom still had a house, had the house there when we first moved back, and so when we had our daughter and she's little, like we could just walk over to grandma's
and
house.
And your daughter has similar experiences now.
Yeah,
too, which is cool.
But they moved out of our neighborhood, so now it feels more like my turf.
Yeah.
But I really love it. It feels like home, and yeah. I love. Our house and the neighborhood's great, so yeah, happy times.
Good. Now you both do other shows. You said something about doing like a Shakespeare show, or tell us what else you do besides the Pun Slam.
We're theater makers and storytellers, so we just like making stories. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be the ones telling it. We don't have to be the ones like performing in it or like making it. We just like being a part of making it too, however that manifests. Sometimes it is acting, maybe it's designing, maybe it's directing, maybe it's advertising, what have you. So we are
artists
effectively. Yeah, we're free agents and producers that do what we want to do with the people that we want to do it with, who invite us to do it. And so I do a ton of theater. I used to do a lot of technical theater in Seattle, being a light guy and a sound guy. I did a lot of live mixing for live shows and for big musicals, like the big Christmas pageant. So I'm used to like live sound mixing, like a rock concert.
Yeah.
But I also do acting, and I studied a lot of Shakespeare in college. And so most recently, I'm very involved with the Boise Bard Players. They're a small group that aims to make Shakespeare intellectually and economically affordable and accessible without cutting anything down or dumbing it down. Yeah. And so we get really, really, really nerdy and go from there. We dig into the text, and like where our mission is, like you don't need to listen to every word that we're saying in order to get what's going on.
Okay, cool.
Follow along. Yeah. You will get what's going on.
Sometimes it takes a full act before I'm like,
that's true. Yeah. And there's a lot of payoff in Shakespeare shows, and so it takes like laying down the cards right in order for you to turn them and give everyone the big spectacle. And that spectacle that we're doing this weekend is A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I get to be King Oberon, the fairy king, and it is, I always get cast as the bad guy.
It's
a delight. I love it. Yeah, it's been a blast. I've never asked, but I just end up always being the closest thing to a villain in a show.
Which is funny because he's just like the nicest guy in the world.
He's got a dark side.
Yeah. Oh, he wears eyeliner in this show.
Oh,
so.
Dang.
Nice.
Guyliner.
Exactly.
That's a pun.
There you go. There's a pun. I don't think it's not an original, though.
We also worked closely with Opal Theater for the last few years on its leadership, and recently stepped away from it. But the work that we did with Opal, and that we hope to do with Opal again in some future, it has been nothing short of fruitful and satisfying and like really artistically challenging. And so we've done all aspects of that too, between directing, acting, designing, advertising, marketing it.
Between the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's the actor, he's the performer. I'm typically like, I perform in my daily life and I'm just a ham, but I don't take part in theater necessarily, or comedy even. Like I MC, but I make posters mostly. Like I'm a graphic designer by trade.
Oh,
so
okay,
like
cool.
That's how my tie-in with theater and production goes, mm-hmm. is like, I can make your stuff look so good.
Yeah,
like,
you're a social media engineer too.
I am.
Like, you
That's
really know
true.
How to pull the levers when you can, because it's always changing.
Yeah.
But, like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, we're getting into TikTok now.
We're a little bit on TikTok.
It's intimidating.
Crazy.
It's intimidating.
Yeah.
I just started posting my ukulele music on TikTok.
Oh, you play the ukulele?
I just picked it up. I almost brought it tonight. We got jammed.
I have mine in the car.
He would have loved it.
Oh, man.
I wrote an original song called Ballad of a Modest Woman.
We're going to have to look that up.
You should.
Should I just go get my ukulele right now?
It's under @moonbabyarts.
We don't. Time. Okay.
Maybe, yeah, we'll see.
Next time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, invite us back. We'll be here. We're here every month.
Sweet.
Oh. Okay, so how do we find it?
I'm on @moonbabyarts. It's literally like one of three videos on there.
@moonbabyarts.
Yeah.
Moonbabyarts is your graphic design.
It's my production company.
Your production company name, pardon me.
Yeah, Moonbaby Arts is what I do all my stuff under.
Okay.
And then he's got his own funny TikTok.
I'm smiley. Yeah, I went viral recently.
He did. Oh, yeah. Like actually viral.
Yeah, it's still pulling in likes and views.
Yeah.
And it's very so I have this very, very, very old copy of Dogzilla. Mm-hmm. By Captain Underpants writer.
Another pun.
Daft Pilkey, yes. In my car. And I've had this car in my family, the car's whole life, which is like 20-something years at this point. And I have a 5-year-old now, and she sees like a corgi tearing down cities on a book. It's written by the Captain Underpants author. She wants to read it, but I'm like, yo, if you open that, it might fall apart. This book is so old. So I recently went, you know what? I'm just going to replace it. And so I ordered a replacement, and then I like stuck my phone in the back of my car, just made a little video to like kind of commemorate me swapping out. Like there will always be a Dogzilla in this car, and here it is, and now she can read it. And that got thousands of views. It
just hit 10,000 likes.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Was it 10,000? Yeah, it did just like
10,000
and it was
likes.
A couple weeks ago, so it's just kind of it's kept rolling and accumulated.
Crazy.
And I only had like 15 followers. And now I have 115 followers.
Nice.
So now I'm okay, so people like wholesome content. I can work with
Dad
that.
Master.
Well, on the same topic, I'll tell you our number one video on YouTube.
Yes, please.
Kenny Rogers.
So we were promoting a New Year's Eve party that we were going to have, and we were going to have karaoke at it. So we filmed us singing, Islands doing karaoke to Islands in the Stream.
And then he passed away.
So when Kenny Rogers passed away, so we just put this out on Facebook for the party invitations or whatever. When Kenny Rogers passed away that same day, I took this video and put just like a cool thumbnail on it, and I put it on YouTube, say like rest in peace,
like
Kenny Rogers.
Viewed.
Yeah, it's like has
it got
like
into
7,000 or 8,000 views.
Yeah. Whoa, nice.
And it's like 16 seconds.
And we cannot monetize like, it.
Because it has the song in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
but it's funny.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Embarrassing. Yeah, funny and embarrassing. But yeah, it's 7,000 or 8,000 views, and it's not worth any money to us. But we're going to leave it. So.
Yeah, who knows? It'll break the hundreds of thousands one day.
Yeah.
Slowly over like the course of 10 years, it'll accumulate.
Yeah, it's still getting, you know, sometimes like 100 views a day. And
funny.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really crazy what hits. And then you have those videos where you're like, oh, this is going to go
this
viral.
This is the best one.
Yeah,
this I spent so much time on this.
This is the one.
That's me. I'm the person that's like, this is just pristine
Everyone's
video content right here.
They're going to call me Scorsese.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like 26 views.
Yeah.
Okay.
After a month.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad we're in the same boat. Because honestly, these are conversations.
Okay, so the key to social media, though, is to do a whole bunch of bad stuff and put it out there all the time.
Okay, that's
because
what we do.
Because it doesn't matter the content, the algorithms prefer that you're engaged and that you are constantly posting. So it's like, it's going to pick one someday.
Yeah.
Like Dogzilla, who knew, right? Like,
I don't know.
He's done videos since then that have not gotten anywhere close. It's just like sometimes you hit it right at the right stride.
Yeah.
So it's just worth putting anything out there.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think with that one, it was the timing of it, too, was I heard you were still asleep when I heard about it. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to make a little video here and put it up and see what happens.
You know? Right on.
So Pun Slam tonight. 7 p.m. Lounge at the end of the universe.
I know. Pun Slam. Come down to the lounge at the end of the universe.
$7 entry fee.
$10 at the door.
$10 at the door.
Yeah, it's open online. So
yeah, you can
get
still buy tickets till like 6:30.
Pun Slam. Do you have to pay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So pay.
Yeah. Right. Entry. And this is all accumulating toward a big old Pandemonium Championship in December.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so everyone that wins, including in the before times, those that have won, they're all going to go head-to-head in December.
The finalists. So not just the winners, but like anybody that made it to the final round is welcome back for the tournament.
Okay.
What else?
It's going to be
Who are the competitors tonight?
I don't know yet. They might be out there right now.
We have no idea who's going to show up unless they tell us.
Anybody off the street is welcome to come sign up. You get your topic at the door.
Yep.
So it's just first 10 contestants.
Okay.
It's fun.
Sweet. Well, we're looking forward to it. Any more questions? Anything else you want to plug or say on the show before we get out of here?
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Idaho Pun Slam, and you'll get updates on when we are and what kind of merch we have. Like today we have paddle fans that have our whole schedule for the rest of the year on them.
Cool.
So like we're always trying to put puns out. You can send us silly pun memes and we'll
if you send us something, we'll totally share it.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. People love that.
So at Idaho Pun Slam.
At Idaho Pun Slam, go and follow them. Thank you both for being here tonight.
Thank
We're looking
you.
Forward
Thanks
to
for
the show.
Us.
You know, if you need a random judge and you happen to
see
we will randomly consider
sit in the front. Oh, okay, you gotta sit in the front.
So I can see far enough.
Please see that I am not
available. She's not available for judging.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, it's been a pleasure.
Yes. I'm signing out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adam.
I'm Wendy Mosier. Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted. Thank you.
Let's get toasted.
Get toasted.
I'm going to get toasted.